in light of what we're...
Yeah, if we can keep on a consistent task list and they get milestones and then nail it down.
Okay. Anything else you want us to particularly think about as we start doing this?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Pleasure meeting you.
I'll see you
soon. 2:30, right.
A big law that day.
I'm not sure when the right time to chime in with this is, so I'll do it now. I think some of the stuff I shared with you back months ago when we were in Montpelier, the stuff that people are doing with relatively unglamorous stuff, like automating basically the work of shipping and purchasing clerks and stuff like that for business-to-business applications is pretty relevant to what we're trying to do. It's... you remember the papers I gave you about the various thing, and I'm not sure where to go with that, but I just think that there is some stuff out there that comes close to addressing some of the functions that that we're looking for that already exist.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the. There's a sort of a, I don't know, technology strategy question in this, which is there's a whole bunch of tools that do. Different pieces of the stack, you know, the top of the stack being whatever the interface is, and the bottom of the stack going down to calculation and record keeping and things like that, and then the stack goes. There's a Lisp group in town this week, so you know the bottom of a really fancy stack, you know, does all sorts of thinking for you, sort of semi thinking underneath it, and I think the issue is. You know, what do we need to use to get going? What can we get going most powerfully with? And I'll revisit that with you, and we can sort of take a look at that. But this is this kind of issue that Sebastian didn't want to get into. But
I thought he was not wanting to go to the user interface. Sorry, but
well, he was not listening really.
I really appreciate it. I just wanted to say it was very nice meeting you all. I'm sorry I do have to go.
Okay, bye-bye.
But thanks so much for having me.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
now the user interface is going to be fun. Remember that kind of...
Yeah, but I think you could do these things in bite sizes. Maybe I'm pretty retro here, but I think that from the first shot that you can specify something pretty simply through a semi-smart form.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I'm looking at, that's complement to what we're doing here, sort of the more advanced genetic algorithm stuff. And we're risky too. But I think that you can do that. Well, there's a whole there are standard tools for doing that.
I agree.
But that brings us back then again to Urs's point that we want to try and make sure that what we do as our first version advances us towards a bigger version.
But what's in the form is what becomes interesting, and what is in the form is the underlying architecture of what those what I would call those containers off the bus. You have like a little bus, so they're like a software bus, and you're having these containers, and we'll fill them in, instantiate them in simple ways that reflect a new architecture that's beyond a simple operating agreement, but that combines it with a coordination agreements, and do a simple form of that, and then we'll see what happens, you know, and everyone starts killing each other or something like that. But there are things that are really key to this, not just the reputation, but the identity, but the reputation component is going to be really how you architect that. It's going to be quite important because that drives everything else. And if people don't perceive that to be fair or participatory, then it undermines legitimacy of these things.
Particularly as you grow it into a
into a bigger. But we may talk about something small. I mean, I do think that the part of the creativity is to pick a small example that is manageable but exemplary of the problem. And then scale it from there.
Well, again, if you guys got me convinced that we don't have to have a licensable product in the end to do our toy company, then let's do the toy company.
He used toy in a different way, as a classifier modifier.
The company, not about making toys, but about the company, the starter company. Which will then put out the job it will put out for new members is filling in the following software programming gaps.
Well, I think you. How can I say this? Having lived through the 60s, where many, many communes were formed and few survived very long, okay? I think that that is also true of this world we're in. It's just there's many, many more communes, and some of them have grown very large. So there's a critical mass of very, very large, by and large, corporate or foundation-supported communes that are highly visible in the landscape. And there are many, many...
Yeah, they make their living off of something other than the way they...
And there are many, many failed communes out there. So, but that said, I think that, yeah, I think in a sense what we have to do is start a commune here. And I don't think I'm a fan of starting a commune to write the software for this. At various times I have been, but the more I think about it, the part that's sort of uncompensated in that is the management task. You know, it's the task that, you know, Linus Torvald did for Linux. You know, it's the and it's
perfect. It's huge.
It's really huge because there isn't a reputation system right now. There isn't a automatic system for even breaking up tasks into pieces. You know, real software has to be tested and work. I mean, you know, it's a real job. And I think particularly if we're on the path of let's do a simple version of the software and use, you know, intelligent forms or whatever, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I stepped on something, but anyway.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's the right first company, but I think we might want to think about is there a first company that emphasizes creativity and not very much interdependence? You know,
there's something we can do on Facebook. Look at a Facebook interface, right?
Yeah.
So why not? And then sort of things that people do on Facebook.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. Let's give some group of people on Facebook a way to become a company and try to ride Facebook to make a company. That would be pretty far out.
Let's do that.
You know, and it could even be.
You can have your iCards.
We could have all the stuff. You can have the platform can be a place to host them. I mean, it becomes a.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'll give you an example that's the most appealing in some ways. It's not even Facebook; it's on YouTube because it's like there are these people in Hollywood now making, TV shows essentially for YouTube, and they're trying to form they're trying to form themselves into basically production companies, and it's actually a big deal. Like a lot of the talent is moving to YouTube to that format. I mean, big time talent, like the guy who did Buffy, that guy, Josh Whedon, has said that he's going to do nothing more for network TV. It's all going to be for the web.
Right.
And so
that is a perfect thing to pick up on.
That's more.
It's a compliment of trends, media stuff.
I used to be a film and TV lawyer. So I,
oh, you did? Yeah, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Book, my book, This Business of Television, is the.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
But so.
Well, and also, and also, could you, like right now, this is mostly happening in Hollywood, where the commercial versions of this are happening in Hollywood, where they have an infrastructure for law to do all those relationships.
But if I can call it a wiki production company.
If you could do a wiki production company, and people could be in Vermont, or they could be in New York, or they could be somewhere else where they don't have the same contracting and legal and role infrastructure that they have in Hollywood.
Just do that on Facebook.
The movie type business, I think, has some synergies with the type of stuff we're talking about, because it's kind of groups of people who form together for specific projects. And
right.
Yeah, and then they're done,
might,
too.
There
yeah.
might be, right. there might
yeah.
be a yeah. it's very reputation-based, too.
That's
it's,
true.
You're not
yeah,
so
right.
much based
sure
on
is.
The contract, but if you get a bad reputation, you won't get work anymore.
Right. That's right.
So it's almost like a terrestrial.
Well, I'm not being unenthusiastic. I'm just not. I think we before we jump right to it,
well,
I think I'm going to just think about it a little bit.
But we're just doing a thought experiment.
No. I think it's a very good thought experiment because I do know the issues involved. I've set up any number of production companies in my day, and now obviously they would be different in this context.
And they've got IP
but
ownership
you know some
issues.
Of the issues.
I know. I mean, I know this one. You're right.
I know this
how,
one.
How would you address the family sort of, in terms of your model, setting up something on Facebook? What would you try to do in terms of the, I keep coming back to this because it keeps coming up when I talk to people about it. You know, some sort of, the guy, the Linus Torvald, sort of getting the thing going in terms of, what do you think in terms of the Facebook? How would you take that into account? I mean, what do you...
Like, how do you have special incentives for the people who are sort of the catalyst for it?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're not going to want to be kicked out if they become inactive later.
No, I know that.
But I don't know.
You have founders share or some sort of founders.
Well, the way people have been doing it, I mean, for what it's worth, again, this is, people have been talking about doing, getting it. It's just like any other management in an enterprise to sort of get a piece of the whatever revenues are eventually, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of what the piece is, you know, it's negotiated. That's
because you could also reserve a royalty stream even if you're not an owner. I mean, one of the tricks is that ownership is only a to use a term that I've been taught, an aggregator for all kinds of bits and pieces of what are rights and duties. And we tend to think of it as though it was the prior, but it's not the prior. The prior are all the rights and duties. And then we have if there's enough in the box, then we call it ownership.
That's right.
Also expect it to have other rights and duties with it once we use the label. So it's both.
Hey, that's super cool.
So what?
I never heard this from you before. This is interesting.
This is actually classic a bundle of rights property theory, right. But applied in this kind of a context that ownership. So part of the problem with the whole corporate world at the moment is that the corporate shareholders got designated to be the owners of the enterprise. Well, they're not really the owners of the enterprise. They are
aggregational rights.
They have a whole bundle of rights which are. Some of which make them look like owners, but then Milton Friedman says, well, who are the owners of the enterprise? They're the shareholders. Therefore, all these other rights, which they don't actually have, should go to them.
Hmm. Right.
And use the label as then the reason to make the therefore step. But the whole unexamined premise in that argument was, well, are they the owners in the sense that you're going to then use the definition to answer a bunch of questions?
It's a mashup problem. It's a technology mashup issue.
Anyway, but that's me being a law professor for a moment.
All right.
but again that whole notion is part of what we're trying to use this format to solve, because the format says, okay, we can give you what we've classically labeled equity, and then we've got, you know, a bunch of things that can happen. We can also subdivide and subdefine those, you know, in all kinds of ways that are partial and full and all that kind of stuff. And what is the appropriate rebundling of these things to make people work happy and productively, which is the underlying question. And my ultimate goal is that the software will be very flexible about unbundling, rebundling, you know, all of that, you know, have those things going and
help people understand the consequences of signing in a particular role. I mean, if I think about what VCs do, what VCs do is kind of work with a bundle of rights, and you know, most of which they end up holding.
Shareholding their preferred
shares,
the preferred share. The classic VC preferred share is a gorgeously designed, I get to do anything I want, and I
get paid back.
And well, also I can recharacterize it legally all the way from the most generalized form of common shareholding, if that's to my advantage, to the most extreme form of secured debt.
That's exactly right.
And so they've set up a flexible smorgasbord of options, which they can then pull the trigger on one or another as they go forward, depending on what they want it to be.
Right, right, exactly. And more that's their game, I swear, certainly around here. So.
But the issue is here, sort of defining and getting back to what I was saying before. I mean, at least from my standpoint. Defining the set of options. The VC has a certain set of options. So it's a classical for a classical corporation. What we need to do is define what those sets of options are for our people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. And that's the opportunity.
And and I like the fact Peter was actually in a side conversation saying that this sounds in some ways like the classic
share the designations of stock. And in some ways, he's absolutely correct that when a classic company, you could create preferences. What I forget the little list of names is. It's preferences, designations,
statement
rights.
Statement of designation. I think what happens is you have a set of shares of stock, and you define in a separate document what their economic rights are, and you know,
those are their voting rights and everything.
Voting rights, other things, right?
Yeah, you know, this is what.
So it's the container idea off the bus, you know. Sort of this is a way of putting a container on the bus, and sort of, you know.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, I mean, frankly, if you want, I mean, again, sort of honing it down to what I think is the new stuff is if you try to even define the container now, really rather getting into the economics and really focus on the container that's going to talk about how the participants in the enterprise interact with each other in terms of, you know, validating what they're doing and establishing trust and sort of, you know, sort of focusing on that. That's really the new stuff.
I'm it's a broken record, but I have to. But that does come into understanding when you're forming a network of relationships. Then you have authenticated identities. Then you have attributes and you have permissions. That is sort of the technical learning how to look at that. But, so you're saying, so you have different classes of members with what set of attributes and how do they interact with each other with
right.
what
comes. But you need to make it by different classes, although actually, quite frankly, John, and going forward in this, it's not so much even different classes. Each individual accumulates their own score in this rather than...
But still, you're going to... You have a class... You're going to have... So what extent do people can come in and can accumulate...
Well, how do they get those
Who votes?
Too?
Who votes on them? Yeah. All these, I mean, all those sort of things. Is there a sort of privileged group? How do you prevent that? I mean,
okay.
Can I take it more, a little bit more down from the general to the little more, like, I want to helicopter down here and back to where Peter was. First of all, I want to say I generally feel real simpatico with your sort of overall point of view, if I hadn't said that. But I think that an interesting thing about the focus Peter just suggested is, in a sense, not so much a generality, which is true, okay, but it's specificity in the sense that if there are two parties in this organization and they have to work together somehow, interdependently, or let's say we've got this little production company of people and one's going to film and one's going to direct and one's going to do these things. And we haven't yet dealt with who's the producer, if you will, or something,
right.
or whatever that meta thing is,
uh-huh.
which I think is important and sort of on purpose left out in David's thing because he's... wants it to auto-catalyze in a way, but if we just stay on what's the relationship between the director, the, you know, the cinematographer, the actors, and so forth. There's a set of contractual relationships there, and I think that seems like that's where the action is, and then yes, it is all about points and reputation and things like that. But okay, how do you do that? Right, that's in the contract, like. When we work together, do you give me points and then I cash the points in? Do we vote at the end of the thing?
But also there's a difference between project-related systems whereby you set it up a little and ongoing systems. If the company is going to only make X thing, then you know in a sense we do it on a one-off and then we figure out the next. But if it's going to have a continuity, then more of this of what you're saying is I think important. May I derail us here in a moment for a moment, because I'm sadly going to be in a position where shortly I will need to make a conference call on a different subject matter joining a little after 12:30. Two process points. One, next steps. What has occurred to me is that one of the things to try and do is figure out a smallish group of us to really come up with a document to present for the next steps, which would be a statement of targets, a statement of at least preliminary statement of requirements, etc., which then to use as the talking piece for the next iteration. So that would strike me as a way to do it, and then have a next iteration. Now, Peter, I you're not easily callable down. One of the things is in the future, if you want to participate, it's great to have you in person, but we can also do it on phones and things as well,
right.
If that makes your life a little easier.
Well, some of us could go up there, too.
Yeah, yeah. We could also do that, too.
Yes, yeah, it's right. We could,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, coming from us,
that's right. Yeah.
Right, for you guys, for you three, you're already sort of there.
Right,
so.
Right, actually, it's not so bad for us, exactly, to figure out.
Meet at the Hanover Inn.
Meet at the Hanover Inn. We could meet at the Hanover Inn.
That was closer to me. So.
Anyway, so from a next steps, that would is the conclusion I'm coming away with, and aiming maybe in about 2 weeks' time for the next kind of gathering, if we can. I think that that's a good window. We need to keep kind of pushing along, but I think that that's also a realistic window in terms of getting stuff pulled together. I think a week's time would not be a realistic window.
Right.
That.
So, Oliver, what do you envision in terms of what you think the output would be here?
The output from that I would envision would be a working paper, which would be pulling together a bunch of the thoughts we've had today, pulling together into a statement of goals. Not necessarily fully defined, but goal A would be, you know, these different kinds of tiers of ways of companies and goals in terms of what we're seeking to develop, and then figuring out, you know, are they sequential, are they, you know, rivalrous, you know, what are we going to do, and then, but also I think we're at a stage where I could, that if I and a couple of others sat down and worked on this kind of abstractions and primitives, that we would begin to, both in the traditional sense and then in this coordination and social norm space, also be able to begin to do that, because I think it's important that we start to have a list of what we would put down. And we've got the one from last June. There's a starting point too. I think we've got enough so that again we can put that down, because that eventually reduced to writing is what we need to kind of go to the next step, which is then to begin to figure out what kind of software platform, and then who's going to write it and what its specs are and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Is that fair? Okay.
Yep.
And then have another gathering.
I mean, I think for what it's worth, though, the key, there is sort of a key definition of first set of, I don't know, goals or vision or what we're actually doing. The thing that we've been in the last half an hour, right. I think, needs some. Once it can't be left unresolved, and then go to deliverables or go to software, or go to these things, because they're wildly different depending on which way we go.
I agree with you.
I don't know how we come to that.
Well, because understanding that was what I was saying, the first step of putting some goals on the table, which would be really what are we aiming to do?
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Okay.
And then those goals, I think the abstractions will inform almost any of the steps we.
I agree. No, I agree. I agree that I agree that abstractions are the issues, or however you want to.
So, and then the next step would be, I think, to reconvene in probably about 2 weeks. I think that meetings are very useful in terms, you know, the classic use of meetings are to share information, you know, get new ideas, try things out. They're not necessarily the place to do the drafting. And then aim with that next meeting also, A, to resolve some of those questions, and then begin to surface what we only did for a minute or two here before Sebastian took off of, you know, what are we about for the next, which is, Jim's, you know, we're going to be asking you to help us with a lot of thinking about.
I mean, I haven't used these tools in a long, long time, but they're the form generators and editors and things like that.
They're around. I mean, I just said to Andrew, I asked Andrew Dallas out at Full Spectrum the other day about this stuff, and you know, we had a discussion about your that stuff, and then which I love, by the way, and we had a discussion about this and. You know, he was funny. He said, this weekend, I, you know, whacked together something that was really pretty complex. And he said, you know, not only are the tools there for the front end, but the back end now all comes with it. It's all just kind of goes, you know. So, this is something that's been a focus of conventional business for
a long time.
For 20 or 30 years or something.
Yeah, so there's stuff out there.
So guys who really do this for a living do it with a bunch of tools.
It's not even an issue of a deliverable and an estimate
and so forth.
From your lips to God's ears, as they say.
What I think would be a great next step is be able to understand this architecture and all those containers and iterate use cases that flex that.
Yeah, see, well, I think that's what he's saying, by the abstractions and then...
Oh, abstractions, and then we'll do that, and then we'll instantiate a Facebook production model and see how that how tractable that is, and start to identify the weak points, the vulnerabilities of this from a technical or from a legal point of view, and then see whether we, that makes sense to move it ahead.
Right.
Okay.
All right. I think that's good.
That's okay. That's good. Okay. Good meeting. Thank you, Oliver.
And the final thing on meetings, and this is a management tool, is to ask three questions. Did we get done what we had to get done today? Did we get done what we had to
sort
do?
Of.
Sort of. We didn't get it as quite as far as I'd hoped.
What did you have to get done?
Yeah, I mean,
what? If answering that was what you had to get done.
How high is the bar? Everyone show up. Yay, all right.
All right. Oh, it's somewhere a little late.
I'm sorry.
They showed up. I didn't say we were on time.
Would it be, from that standpoint, would it be useful to start a little later? Our first thing in the morning meetings, they suit people maybe coming from Vermont, but I'm not sure whether they...
Did they?
You can't go from Vermont.
You have to start really early.
No. I came down last night.
No, I came down this morning, so I lived at 6:45.
You live in Hanover? Or,
no, I live north of... I live in the White Mountains.
Oh, okay.
I see Mount Washington.
Dixville Notch, huh?
Yeah, well, not quite Dixville Notch. Right? That's in Canada.
First voter, right?
Jefferson.
But but anyway, so I think we did get a lot that we needed to get done. I think that we also, I think it was quite successful in terms of keeping the various constituencies in the loop and all that, which is also useful. Yes?
10:15 is the optimum meeting start time for me, because then if I take the bus, I get in here just on time, so...
So for maybe starting a little later is a useful.
Yeah, I can hit 10:15 then.
Yeah, 10:15, 10:30 is perfect. I mean, 10:15.
Yeah, I leave it.
So 9:30 is a little aggressive, but we can. All right.
On Mondays, other days, other days are all right.
On the second question is, did we get what we wanted to get done? Not in addition to what we needed to get done. Actually, I probably asked them in the wrong order. I should have asked wanted, needed. And I think what we wanted, we didn't fully, but what we needed to, perhaps we did in terms of seeing where we're headed for the next step, which is a good. Yeah.
I think it's clarity. It's kind of more clarity, and I think there's a lot of some things that were floating out there that needed to get resolved, and I think they are. More clarified and resolvable.
I thought it was
a productive meeting.
From my standpoint, it was really productive, and it was particularly productive hearing you guys go around the legal issues, and it was helpful. I think that Urs threw in the hey, come on, it's got to handle the visionary stuff, and then and then you guys I thought responded to that really well, and I just think it was it was a good.
So we on the applied end of the thing we're reasonably helpful.
Yeah, I think moving towards, I mean, I sense a more clarity from my standpoint in terms of at least moving towards defining goals, which now really makes sense rather than, I wasn't coming in here as clear about that as I think I'm at least beginning to be now.
By the way, I hope, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I will, which is, can we keep picking your brain in this one?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a couple of, I have a couple of guys who are sort of trying to do this. Sort
oh,
of
you do?
Like using... Yeah, beginning to react to David's and my model, so we'll have some
tangible,
tangible, real world kind of feedback. So,
if there's a time that would be appropriate to bring in, feel free. If there's a time
I need to obviously get their permission clear it. But I think
cool.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Then the last question is what did we do that assisted in making progress, and what did we do that got in the way of making progress? Yeah?
I really thought for the first 20 minutes or so we were talking past the non-lawyers. That was subjective. Viewpoint.
Not being here, I have no idea.
I wouldn't
really.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you two are the only non-lawyers who are?
Right.
And you weren't here for the first 20 minutes.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that, we weren't.
A little bit. But we also needed to kind of get ourselves. This was a meeting that was less about the non-lawyers than it was about the lawyers, in a sense, the requirements phase. What I think it was useful was having the non-lawyers hearing the lawyers, as Jim was in some way saying.
Learning by... immersion,
but one of the things that you're also saying is that it would be useful to a little more background and making sure we make clear that people, if they're not understanding, should jump in and ask.
Well, I feel at times. I mean, you guys are much more familiar with some of the terminology that's being used sometimes. I'm not sure.
We sometimes talk past the lawyers too, right?
Well, I see. The other side.
Oops.
Yeah, exactly.
When you guys and Sebastian started in, I started, okay. I'll let this go a little while, then I'm going to have to plug this because this needs its own meeting. It needs its own meeting.
And you have to know how to decode that too. Yeah.
Right. There was some gamesmanship going on in that, in my view.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I wasn't sure whether to do counter game, you know, like it was, sort of put me in a situation of, was I going to, take the punch or assert a little bit of right.
Thank you, by the way, for getting Lydia, because I think she will be helpful, and the way she's thinking, both in and of herself, and also the, from a long-term strategic standpoint of the alliance with that group at
group at MIT is doing a lot of the same stuff, too.
And then we should get them on.
Yeah, the MIT, there's a media lab group that's doing some really
We should get them involved as well.
Yeah.
They're very interested in this.
Okay. Well, let me know who else, because if they should
It's a future banking group.
Okay, well, let's get them going.
The guy with the... Well, actually,
in fact, I was slightly conflating...
Well, but he's not... I need to explore further.
Okay.
What's nice about Lydia and her team is that, especially Lydia, and her boss, is they really are focused on being anthropologists right now. And I think I just think that will pay enormous dividends to have them in the room because again, back to this issue of who's the lawyers talking to each other and the not, you know, the techies talking to each other. They're trying to take the perspective, and she's obviously not coming in strong on it yet, but they're trying to take the perspective of, okay, you guys think almost like a cult, right? I mean there's a certain set of things you do that we have to design for, and then there are things we have to design for your audience, and so.
I apologize. I've got to go join the conference.
I'm a skeptic.
Keep going, and I'll be back in a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great idea, but I've sent little stuff that come out of that I think is particularly good. But anyway. So I mean, Microsoft has got a group that does it. They get all these guys. They go around and it's just a big round pound. But anyway.
Well, okay, maybe so. What do you think does work for user interfaces?
I think getting it out in front of users and having people actually do it. I mean, first place, it's a whole different design consideration whether you have lawyers do it or end users do it.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. No, I understand, and she knows that too. But
So I'm just saying. So if you that's a big decision. But if you do something out in Facebook or something, and just throw it out there.
And then
people puke and people like it, and then you start to get something.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, we'll do both.
I'm an anthro-ethno guy by one thing.
But on the other hand, I have a lot of experience putting software out there that people puke about. So,
you got it covered.
So hey, you know, if that's
you got it covered, man.
That's the task, man.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree with putting stuff out there.
Hey, I've got Stu Kaufman involved in this. We had a talk. He's so interested in doing this stuff.
That's awesome.
He talked about autocatalytic sets of mutualism and a whole new theory of innovation.
Yeah.
That is really, really interesting.
Oh, those things are called, the thing I think you're talking about, they're like called adaptations. But it's like...
Acceptations.
That's what you were looking for. See, I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, it took me.
Yeah.
But if you look at Apple from the point of expectations and Objective-C, and so the iTunes and anyway, there's an article in there. HBO.
You mean that they built things and then.
And now he had a strategic. He created a different fitness function, and everyone said, "Well, gee, why was that so important?" And then, so when the iPhone came out, you had an iTunes store in there.
Mm-hmm.
You had objectives. They had to take a whole operating system that was very functional. Microsoft took a whole other, a different philosophy, of course. And as the mobile, their mobile stuff is not good. And so he creates context by which you can then have that mutualism that changes certain selective functions, and then new kinds of innovations come out. And that's why, quote, he's so innovative. And he focuses on certain core things.
Mm-hmm.
He gets control over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. No, I just don't know if that quite qualifies. Like, acceptations, I think, the notion of that is they're sort of serendipitous things that just happen, right, in biology.
Yeah,
but,
in biology.
But in business, I think that's an interesting thing.
That's why you're teaching attentional theory.
Is that he says, okay, I'm going to create some things that are building blocks, essentially.
Right.
John Kessler.
That once they come together, once I put them together, they're going to help me out. It's like core competence taken to a better...
Yeah.
A better place.
But there's a whole dynamic of that. If you understand how these things recombine, you can start to...
That's true. I agree with that. I mean, that's what we're trying to do with the class.
This is very interesting.
In selection, it's not so blind. He said the closed epistemological notion that underlies most...
My standpoint is these guys are talking about a lot of stuff that they hadn't really thought through in terms of the way people interact.
I just think
there's a lot you can do to sort of think through that ahead of time. Anticipate what the issues are.
That's the thing we talked about things starting from the ground up.
Right.
Remember when you were saying things that only organizational change starts from the bottom?
Right.
Well, one thing you could say is that the real change only starts from sort of a critical mass of acceptations.
Right.
That kind of come together in autocratic, whatever, you know.
Right, autocratic sense or that. I mean, David's really into that. That's why he has
a
particular...
I don't know if you can say or not, but have you gotten calls from...
Well, the problem with David is he therefore never wants to acknowledge that there are organizational catalysts, leaders, you know, and...
Yeah.
And,
so,
and it's funny because coming out of Sarah's course, right, that's a course she's in with...
And frankly, neither David or David really have been very aggressive.
It's all about, by the way, roles, contracts, relationships, norms, all this stuff.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, the legal...
Like he would say,
people can
he would say the absolute, I mean, what he's doing is creating catalysts, right, that you can throw into any community,
this level
and they can find a bunch of piece parts, and they can connect them. And he has this thing
you'd be able to guide
them after
this process unfolds longer.
Who's the guy who wrote about
democracy?
De Tocqueville. Where De Tocqueville says democracy is the ultimate competence, because it's the competence to connect things and connect people and get things done. And
that's good.
It's a great quote.
Good for you, David.
But then Gans goes ahead and says, yeah, and there need to be democratic leaders, that is a particular thing. But it is then a study of roles and norms and how they combine and accountability and reputation and all those things are in Gans's principles. That explicitly. You know, that explicitly. Like, he's got a very kind of simple set of things.
Going back to
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I really agree with that.
But that's really cool. That is actually really cool.
I have a paper.
You got to just find a way to get him into this, right?
Well, no, he said he's going to come to a meeting. I'm going to have him speak at one of the workshops. I want to have him do a debate with Robert Merton and Andrew Lowe.
Who's Andrew Lowe? I know.
He's the professor of financial engineering at MIT.
Oh, yeah.
And he does risk management. He will random walk down Wall Street. But it's a whole concept of, randomness. And so that will be fun.
Let me catch Peter before he goes.
Yeah, sure.
It's just great to see you.
Oh, yeah. It's nice seeing you, too. Yeah. I hope to see you again. This is fun. This is really enlightening.
Well, good, Peter. I'm so glad you could get down here.
I thought I was saying to him that I thought that... I wasn't sure what I would get out of here, this, but frankly, listening to you guys talk and sort of taking the discussion of sort of new aspects of these creatures, is really fascinating to me. Sort of thinking through that stuff. So
that's great.
That's great.
It'd
be helpful.
I think there's some real opportunity here.
I do too. I mean, I'm hoping to see a lot of new creatures. You know.
Yeah. Same here.
Well, I was just saying. I mean, I do have some people. I mean, His name is
Brock.
Yeah, I was telling Brock that, I do have some clients who are trying to do it right now, but there's a sort of bootstrapping it, and I can't give them as much guidance because, really, I don't know people have sort of gone through this process. So one of the interesting things about this is sort of thinking it through and sort of, being able to test out things and this may work, or here's some choices you have to address this issue. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, I do think we might get the Bank of America interested in this, and because they expressed a strong interest in it, and I blogged for them on it, because they think of banking, the new model of banking is that you want to align the interest of your depositors with the bank itself. So they're thinking actually of having depositors be like shareholders, participants in the bank itself, so there's a big rethink going on there.
they may need them to be shareholders.
Yeah, exactly.
No, John, I think it's a great thing.
Like I'm also laughing. Insurance company. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there we go. We maybe go back to
mutualized banking.
Isn't that fascinating?
But once you start to develop certain mechanisms that you can build in certain transparency notions, auditability, all that kind of stuff, then the trust factor starts to, you know.
Well, I think also the role that the hosting company may is the trust factor monitoring that, sort of assuring that.
So if you have a good I think the trust, a host is a new meaning.
You know, sometime, not now, but sometime I would really like to hear you expound on what you mean by hosting company, because when I hear it, I of course think, and I think very conventionally, I think like, you know, The Planet or One-to-One Hosting or any of these places that, you know, basically has server farms. And this is very different. This is really...
Well, one quick way to do it, and I got to run, is that there's this outfit, actually David and I are talking to, called FairSoftware.
Oh, yeah.
We've mentioned that in the thing.
On the West Coast, right.
If you look to see, I mean, in terms of what they're doing, in terms of his hosting model is different than what David and I have been talking about. But basically, it's very simply put, is sort of having facilities to allow members to interact, having a dedicated sort of website sort of to allow them to communicate, have them keep track of points, records, everything else you would need in terms of hosting, everything you would need to sort of run one of these companies through some sort of web, you know, web-based site and sort of with this platform there to support all that. And that's what this guy FairSoftware is trying to do. Although he hadn't thought of he did it through this complicated cross-licensing thing. You know, like everybody's sort of licensing each other, and then they license to him, and he distributes the software products. But that's sort of the idea. And hosting can take form a variety of other things. You know, in terms of having accounting support, having banking support.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, is Mechanical Turk then a hosting company with a different model to it? But in some sense, is Mechanical Turk. These online marketplaces are sort of hosting companies.
Yeah, it is.
Or are these places that sell photographs now? You know, like Shutterfly or whatever, you know, that where you can upload your photographs and they'll sell them license-free to other
people. It is. It's sort of a form of, the adaptation to these companies in some fashion.
Yeah. Right. So maybe there's one interesting thing would be to study, I hadn't thought about this until this minute, but is to do sort of a typology of the existing companies that we would class as broadly hosting companies.
Right.
And understand kind of what it is their different functions are. I mean, for example, people point out on Mechanical Turk that the contract is very onerous toward the contractee and very much pro the contractor.
Yeah.
You know, are there other ways you could, you know, like obviously there are ways you could change the nature of that contract or...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be interesting to, like, you know, what are these... I guess that's what Yokai are doing in some sense. Yokai is sort of trying to survey. He's got like 2,000.
He's looking at different sites and see
broadly,
different
practices. Broadly peer production sites. I mean, maybe that's the same thing. Maybe the concept of hosting as we're using it is very similar to the peer production platform
it may
or something.
It may be.
Sense that Yokai
is.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of stuff here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
It's a little overwhelming, but it's
it is a little for me too.
Certainly a lot of good material.
All right, guys. Pleasure, John.
Thank you very much. Yeah. See you. Okay, take care. Yeah, bye-bye. I think I just hit my point, you know.
Yeah.
Well. It's good.
Good. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put out Stu's paper for you.
I was just going to sit here and listen to you, Tim.
That's fine.
Rambling on.
Might be at my limit for...
I gotta take off.
You gotta take off?
Yeah, I've got a ton of stuff.
I just printed out Stuart's thing for you. I mean, it's like he has a theory of the open universe, which is then it applies to what open systems are, which apply mutuality. And I mean, it's sort of maps it's rigorous. I mean, you know, same bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I wrote my book, The Death Competition. The first version was written off Peter Jay Gould's punctuated equilibrium thing.
Right.
Okay, and then I took it to Edward Wilson. Okay, who's obviously not of the same stripe.
Right.
And Edward Wilson was really lovely, and he gave me this grad student, not a postdoc. I'm sorry, named Jim Wetterer. So Jim Wetterer read the entire book, like over a weekend. I mean, it was, I think it was at the point, it was six chapters. And he came back and said, well, look, your biology is kind of out of date. And he said, you know, obviously there's a dispute about punctuated equilibrium and most people don't believe in it. It's more like island. There's island effects, which is what Wilson and Doblegger or whatever his name is, you know, they're into. But then he said, so he basically brought me up to the next level. And so he brought me up to Red Queen stuff. And he kind of brought me up to a whole bunch of rapid coevolution type things. Okay. And then that's where I did the book. Okay. But what would be fascinating is if this really is the next level of evolutionary theory, you go, okay, let's recast the strategy book in terms of what this adds, you know, which is really, that is what, all, you know, ultimately, one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's a huge, I mean, if he's refuting very fundamental notions about statistical modeling and epidemiological modeling, he really... and saying like Bayesian statistics is, when it's used in the way it's used, it doesn't work, Marshall's
Black Scholes,
right, all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't.
We're synergistic here, John. About this. That's right.
But anyway, yeah. So
well, that part I would like to hear because I don't know what he's talking about there. Really, I mean,
that's where he takes on the whole Laplacian determinism and being able to say that you can't, when you make, the whole idea is what the state space is being fixed. What do you say? It's a fixed end. When it's not, it's like you can't, it's what he calls a framing problem, a bounding problem, and then that it itself changes and it gets reconstituted.
And so let me slow it down here. So Bayesian statistics is basically the statistics of decision trees, and
your decisions, well, but expectation functions based upon prior histories.
No, well, or what I'm testing in a different way is that when you make a decision tree,
right,
okay, and then you analyze it with Bayesian statistics, okay, that's a fixed universe,
right,
okay, so and I guess his argument would be that out on one of these branches, the thing keeps going in a fractal sense.
And the rules get rewritten.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So it's not a finite set of states. It's like the states get...
Okay.
You see this in biology all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And he'll argue it's even a component of physics.
Yeah, okay, okay. So I do get that part. Okay, now the second part was... Black Scholes.
Well, Black Scholes. I mean, the whole idea of historical statistics being predicting, unlikely events. Well, because you're taking a model. Part of the whole idea was, okay, I don't know anything. My state of mind, therefore, I'll assume it's 50-50. It's random.
Well, or I'll assume a curve.
I'll assume a curve,
and then I price the curve.
And then I'll price the curve. But often, if I'm in a state of ignorance, then it's a random fluctuation, right? So I can't say one thing or another.
Well, or worse, the curve, the curve isn't a curve in that shape at all.
That's what he gets like. But if you have a state space, and a state space may have a certain finite set of n at some point in time, then it interacts in some other state, then it becomes another state space, which then has a different set of rules, which is different than that set of n.
Yeah.
And so you can't.
I think he's right. Yeah.
And so you can't apply that historical modeling and what's probable and improbable events as a fixed thing doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree.
Profoundly.
No, I agree. No, I agree.
It's a whole shitload of stuff is built on that.
I agree.
I mean, and we talk about our cooperative.
I agree. And then if you say that there's a thing beyond beta in the economy, okay, like zeta
right.
or something.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That is.
I'm still on the phone, but I did want to make sure that I got a chance to touch base with you all before you disappear.
Right.
Okay, we didn't realize you wanted to, but we now realize.
That's why I'm here. That's
okay,
why I'm here.
So we should hang out?
If you're able to, again.
Sure. I'm going to write a paper.
Yeah. How long will it be?
15, 20 minutes.
Okay, yeah,
to,
I'll get you.
I sent you that memo on Ghana.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
If you're able to, I want to get that into the hopper early. And if you haven't seen it, don't worry about it. Then maybe we don't worry about it.
I can see it. I mean.
Okay, if you were able, because then there's this meeting this afternoon, and I'd love to get it in the hopper. I was just trying to.
Okay. Well, let me just borrow somebody's computer. Who's got a mouse?
I'll. Tell John I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, how are you? Good, good, thank you. Sure. Yeah, I saw that. Okay, I was up there, but I haven't gotten the bill. Okay, all right. Okay. Okay, I just want to be responsive.
Okay, it's in the upper right-hand corner?
Yes, right up there.
Oh, okay.
The AA006VIR, so.
And then what's the password on that, or is there? I don't understand. Or you say, do you say hard? No, I don't mean for me. I mean for these computers in here.
Okay. I thought you meant
no.
For just
oh, I
general,
that's for
general
my
wireless
wife.
Access.
Wow.
My bad. Yeah.
So, and what was the 2400 for? Okay. All right, all right. Okay, wow, okay. So that is, so we're talking about 8,900? Wow, because we originally talked around 6, so that's okay. All right. Okay, but so the 2,400 was the additional work where we went over. And. Okay. Okay. Okay, and about I am interested in sort of what that 2,400, because that entailed what other are you saying more? I thought that was gonna be included, so I'm just trying to figure out what that extra amount was. Okay. Okay, sure. I appreciate that. Oh, because I didn't know they had to do that. Oh, the vanity thing didn't come up. It didn't. I see. Yeah, he had to redo part of that. I remember that. You're right. Right. Okay. Okay, that's great. Okay, well, thank you very much. Did you have a chance to talk to the guys at the Littleton Millworks as well? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. Okay, all right, that'd be great. Okay, that's great. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, they did a nice job. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like what I want to do is it'd be it's like a little deck, but it'd be also you'd have doors open out, French doors open out from one of the bedrooms onto would be a deck, porch deck, I would have, because they have, but yeah, and that would take some little bit of work changing the master bedroom too. Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. Okay, well, very good. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.